Well, I'm going to make it easy for you today. I'm only going to. My message is only out of one book of the Bible, so I'm going to make it easy, and it's going to be out of the book of Revelation. Now, I know what you think. First, people think about book of Revelation. We're going to talk about prophecy, aren't we? No, we're not. There's a lot about prophecy. There really is. I mean, it's so much about the end time and how it ties into Daniel and Matthew 24. And it does talk about end time, but also has prophecy about, you know, the entire time, actually, like Revelation 12. I think it goes back to, you know, toward the beginning. But what I'm going to talk about today is about Revelation and the Lamb. So let's turn to chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Talk about the Lamb. Revelation 1, verses 1 to 3. It starts out telling who this revelation is. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. God gave it to show his servants. You know, if you kind of look at society, they say, well, how do you understand this thing? It's not understandable. Well, you got God's Holy Spirit, and you understand the holy days and God's plan for mankind, then you can understand this. But without that, you can't. It takes those things. Keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, because it is really the secret. It's one of the biggest secrets, other than God's Holy Spirit. That's the biggest secret, is to understand the holy days and the plan of God, and then you can fit everything into it. But it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, not to hide it, to show us things which must shortly take to place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Mr. Armstrong, but he's really the one that God used to unlock so much of this knowledge we have today and pass it on. And it's really been a real blessing. And I'm not turning to Daniel, but in Daniel, it does talk about, but you, Daniel, says in Daniel 12:4, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In Daniel 12:9, it says, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And it has been, and I think God used Mr. Armstrong to really open up the pages for us to understand it. And this is the time of the end. So it is right that we, as the Church of God, should understand this book. But one of the aspects that I'm going to talk about here is that Jesus Christ, inspired by God the Father, wants us to understand that he is the Lamb that paid the price for us, that was planned before creation, that he is the creator of us, and he has qualified to rule and be over all that he and the Father have started, and that they will complete it, and that he has the power to do so as the Almighty and able to bring many sins to salvation and to be with them as part of the family of God in the kingdom of God forever. I know that's a mouthful, but that's what Revelation is about. Most of the prophecies are actually about how God's bringing it through in the end days, how he's going to bring it and finish it up. And the Lamb is the one that makes it possible, and the Lamb is the one carrying it out. You know, when you look through the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is referred to in the book of Revelation as Christ four times. He's referred to as Jesus seven times, and is referred to as Jesus Christ seven times. Now, that's a total of 18. But he's referred to as the Lamb 27 times, more than all the others put together. So there's a theme here. Jesus Christ, that revelation, he wants us to understand it. He is that Lamb. He is that Lamb that gave his life for our salvation. He has the ability to help us to grow and overcome, and does so, is going to marry his bride, the church, at his return, and who is almighty and has been given all power. These are points I'll be covering today in the book of Revelation and the salvation of the Lamb. Actually, Jesus Christ was used two or three times right in these first, actually three times in 1 through 5 to let you know that Jesus Christ is talking. So three of the seven places where Jesus Christ was used is right right off the first. He wants you to know who's talking is doing this, but after that, the emphasis on him as the Lamb, him as the Lamb for salvation, him as the Lamb who can redeem us, him as the Lamb who has the power, the Lamb has the power to do it, and the Lamb who is going to do it. So the first point is, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, poured out his blood as a sacrifice to pay for our sins and redeem us. Let's turn to chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, this is talking about the, you know, the beast power and all that, but goes on to say that those on the earth would worship him. And who are those that worship him? It's not God's people. It's those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we need to be in that book of life of the Lamb. That's what we need to be working for. That's what we need to be following him and doing what he says and trusting him and realizing he has the power to do it. In chapter 5, let's go to chapter 5, verses 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. This is Jesus is the Lamb and he is worthy here. And that's what the first part of this is about. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And this is John talking as he was revealed the truth. And he was really upset. He said, no one's able to. But then, verse 5, it says, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scrolls and to loose the seven seals. In other words, he has prevailed by his sacrifice, by being the Lamb. And it's going on to call him the Lamb. And I looked, verse 6, it says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Verse 7 says, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. So here's Jesus Christ. He is worthy. He is the Lamb that was slain, that has redeemed us. He says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on the earth forever. We will reign on the earth. It will be forever. It didn't say forever there. But that's what Christ is. He has redeemed us. His sacrifice has redeemed us. And he is worthy to open these seals and to show what the revelation, the book of Revelation, is about. It's chapter 7, verses 9. Just turn over one page, probably. Chapter 7, verse 9. And I do have a large print Bible, Mr. Smith. It's much easier to read. Chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked up, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. In other words, there's a great multitude of overcomers because they've got their white clothes on and they're standing before the Lamb. In verse 10, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So they're giving the Lamb the credit here. In verse 13 and 14, it says, then one of the elders answered unto me and said, who are those arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the blood of the Lamb is a big theme of the book of Revelation. And the last scripture on that is chapter 14, verse 4. Chapter 14, verse 4. Chapter 14, verse 4. It says, these are the ones, it's talking about the 144,000 here with God's Spirit, who were sealed with God's Spirit. In chapter 4 it says, these are the ones who were not defiled with women. They are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So these are people who were redeemed by God by the sacrifice of his blood. We are to be redeemed among men from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people where the gospel is to be preached. It says we are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, the first fruits of God and the Lamb. Which leads to the next point. Because Jesus Christ the Lamb helps us to overcome ourselves and our adversary, Satan the devil. We can't do it without him. Jesus Christ makes it possible to come to God, to receive the Holy Spirit, and Christ shows us the way. He has come before us, and he's shown how to live a righteous life, and now he can help us. He can intercede for us. Let's turn back to chapter 5, verse 8. We read this, but I wanted to bring out something important in this chapter. The Lamb is the one who was slain is worthy. He attends to our prayers, and it's a sweet savor to him. He listens to us, and attends to us, and cares for us. In verse 8 it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. What is this? What are these golden bowls full of incense? Which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, our prayers to God that Jesus Christ can use to help us is extremely important to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Lamb. So he can help us to overcome through our prayers to him, through our beseeching, through our wanting a relationship with him. It's very important. Chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Chapter 7, verse 9. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. I'm going to read a couple of these twice because they have a double emphasis. Some of them talk about redeeming us. Others talk about overcoming. But this talks about of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So salvation does belong to the Lamb, to Jesus Christ as the Lamb. He's made it possible, and now he's helping us to live it and to grow and overcome. If we go back on and read verse 13 again, go down to 17, it says, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And he said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So here, there's two things here. First of all, we were washed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are also made a spirit being, brought salvation through that Lamb. Verse 15 says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb, will shepherd us to ultimately get salvation in the world tomorrow in the kingdom of God as a spirit son of God. The Lamb has given us the redemption, the power, the strength, the example and strength to overcome and become spirit beings in the kingdom of God. Chapter 12, let's go to chapter 12. By the blood of the Lamb, we are overcoming Satan the devil and his persecution. Chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So we need to understand, I kind of look at the Lamb and I think Christ wants to understand. Yes, he was the Lamb, the little Lamb. that gave himself. But he's also the lamb that now has been given power to help us. You know, unlike at Christmas time when you have the little baby and that's what they worship, we worship a powerful God who was the lamb, who gave himself, who is the lamb of power. And we're going to go on another point and show that he has been given all power. But he is able to do it. He's able to bring us to salvation. And that's where we need to seek, to through him, to God the Father, who gives us his Spirit and works with us. In verse 17 it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ." In other words, we fight against Satan and his demons and the powers of this world. And the Lamb has overcome it, so he can help us to overcome it. What a wonderful message it is. Chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Now I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads." In other words, they have the Holy Spirit, they had God in us. "And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one can learn that song except 144,000 who were redeemed from earth." In other words, we understand and listen to Jesus Christ. We know him. It says he is a shepherd and he knows his sheep and his sheep know their shepherd. It's because of God's Spirit. The Lamb is made possible to receive God's Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we wouldn't understand him. We wouldn't understand what he's saying. We wouldn't understand what this Bible teaches us. But it says it was made possible by the Lamb. Verse 4 says, "These are the ones who are not defiled with women. They are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God." And let's turn over to the same chapter, verse 12 and 13. He says, "Here is the patience of the saints." He's talking about being the Lamb in this whole chapter. And it goes on verse 12 and it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" In other words, we are going to have works. It's overcoming works is what we're going to have. We have to do the works that Jesus Christ did. We have to follow the commandments and live them. We have to live them with a heart and mind. We have to care for people. We have to care for God. And we have to do these things. We have to live like Christ lived, like the Lamb lived, who overcame this world and now sits at the right hand of God. Chapter 17. Verse 14, talking about the beast power in the end time, says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen faithful." So this is talking about we will be the true and faithful of the Lamb as he takes over and rules the earth, the whole earth, of all peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That's what Jesus Christ is doing right now. He's in the process of bringing that about. And we are to be with him to help him. Amazing scriptures. Amazing scriptures. One of the songs earlier was a song we sing at the feast a lot. It made me think about that because it's you know, the feast is a wonderful thing. It gives us so much hope and so much faith, I believe. I know that when my brother died recently, I appreciate everybody sent a card, and I appreciate everybody's prayers. But you know what I appreciate the most is God's truth, that we're going to see our loved ones someday. And it's an absolute. It's not a guess or a question or a hope. It's an absolute. What a wonderful thing. We're going to see our loved ones someday. And give them God's, help Jesus Christ give them God's truth and the wonderful way of life that it gives us. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing. What could you ask more of? Chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. It says, all overcomers will be the Lamb forever in the kingdom of God as the eternal spirit beings. verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of a street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. In other words, God the Father and the Lamb will be there. And I think God, I think Jesus Christ wants us to understand He is the Lamb, so we'll never forget it. We'll never forget what made it all possible. I think God wants that too, because you see, God gave His only Son. You can't give more than that. And Christ gave His life for us. So they both gave a lot. And I don't think they want us to ever forget that. But yet they have the power to make things right because of it. They shall see His face, verse 4. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All overcomers will be at the Lamb forever in the kingdom of God as eternal spirit beings. Point 3. We are to be married to the Lamb. We are to be married to the Lamb. Chapter 22, we're already there. Go to verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. There's also a place where we are to be the bride of God the Father too. And I'll get to that a little later. Let's go back to chapter 19 a little bit, verses 5 to 9. The Lamb reigns, and all of His saints will marry Him in His return and be ever with Him in the kingdom of God. Chapter 19, verses 5. Then a loud voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and all those who fear Him, both small and great. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. He talks about the Lord God omnipotent reigns, and when He does, He is the Lamb that we marry, that, and He is the God omnipotent, and that's a later point. The Lamb is that great, powerful God that's going to set things right so that God can come down and dwell with His people. Verse 8, Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in a fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So it is a true saying of God that we will marry the Lamb when He returns. We grow and overcome. And let Him help us with salvation. We accept His sacrifice. Chapter 21, verse 9 to 14. 20, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels as gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. So he's talking about being us, as the body of Christ, being the Lamb's wife. To be there in that new Jerusalem in that world tomorrow. That we're going to actually picture when we go to the feast in a couple of months. And then, you know, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus Christ, as Lamb, has made all things pure, all things white, including the burning up of the earth, with a new heaven and a new earth completed, the marriage of all to God takes place, a truly intimate relationship with God the Father, who will now dwell with His resurrected spirit children forever. And it says in verse 21, verse 1 to 2, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In this case, the Lamb has made his church and his people ready for God the Father to come down and dwell with all mankind. The Lamb has made this possible. And even the association with God is represented as an intimate relationship, because he's going to come down and marry the entire earth of people, made possible by Jesus Christ the Lamb. The last point is, the Lamb is the Almighty God who has all power. God the Father has given him all power to do what he needs to do on this earth. He is qualified as the Lamb of God and has been given all power. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who has slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be it to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." In other words, God sits on the throne with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb at his right-hand side, who has been given all power to be able to carry out the salvation of all mankind. Jesus Christ is the Lamb that has overcome Satan in the world, and he has all power and glory to accomplish the task of bringing many sons of God to glory. Chapter 15. Let's go to chapter 15. Verses 1 to 4. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. In other words, we have to be those who have that victory over the devil and over the beast. Verse 3, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested." So the Lamb has done this. He has made it to where all people eventually, he is the King of the saints. They are going to come and worship for God someday. And he has that power to do it. The Lamb is the Lord God mighty, and all nations will come to worship before him. Chapter 21, verse 22 and 27. Chapter 21, verse 22. Right before this is talking about Jerusalem with its walls and its gold streets and you know, the precious stones. In verse 22 it says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." So God and Jesus Christ, the Lamb, are the temple. They are what we worship. The city had no need of the sun or or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no mean. There shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there's a Lamb's book of life that we want our names written in, that we want to follow. The Lamb is the Almighty God who has all power, and I had two parts of that. One is he had qualified as the Lamb of God and has been given all power. The other is it refers to him as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, he is the one who was there at creation that created us, you know, made possible when God said, you know, let us make man in our image, and Jesus Christ carried it out. He was the one, it was planned ahead of time. You can talk about God's will. It was God's will ahead of time that Christ would die, that would do this and die and overcome Satan. And later on, to be resurrected to the right hand of God and help us through salvation to get to the world tomorrow, get to the kingdom of God. He is the Alpha and Omega. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 8. Which the Alpha Omega, of course, is the first and last. That's what it means. In verse 2, verse 8, speaking to the church here, one of the churches, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things, says the first and last, who was dead and came to life. Well, it was Jesus Christ the Lamb, who was dead and came to life. And he is the first and last. Let's turn to chapter 22. Chapter 22, verses 1. We read this before, but I want to read it again in the light of... Actually, we don't need to. We read this before. It talks about, in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And, of course, verse 1 talks about that the throne of God and of the Lamb is where, you know, it's going to be in the world tomorrow. It's going to be the headquarters where everybody's going to report to, where everybody's going to be led by. It'll be that way forever. Let's go to verse 12. It says, and behold, I am coming quickly. Jesus Christ's words here. And he says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And of course, right after this, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So they want us to thirst after God's way. They want us to thirst after the way that Jesus Christ showed us, to thirst after him, to become one of his sons forever. And then the last one, and that he is the Alpha Omega, is chapter 1. Chapter 1, go back to chapter 1. This is, it talks about Jesus Christ, but then immediately goes that it was the one who gave his blood for us, which would be the Lamb. Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the one who gave his blood for us. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Christ is the one who's going to make it possible. He's not just a lamb. He's a lamb with power and strength and authority and compassion and love that go along with it. Amazing, tremendous, perfect balance. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation, kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard from behind me a loud voice from a trumpet, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write it in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I also say to Tulsa, to Northwest Arkansas, and others. to the United Church of God and all God's people. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. In other words, here's describing what Jesus Christ looks like. And we're actually going to look like him. It says his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like the fine brass that's refined in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, alive, and I have the keys of Hades and death." So he is the one who was dead, which was the Lamb who was slain. But he is alive now, and he does have the keys to bring us to salvation. He has all power. He is the first and last. He is the Alpha Omega. He is the beginning and the end. In conclusion, you know, I believe, and that's a little bit of long SBS, that Jesus Christ, inspired by God the Father, wants us to understand that he is that Lamb that paid the price for us, that was planned before creation to do so, that he is the creator of us, that he is qualified to rule and be over all that what he and the Father have started, that they will complete this task, that he has the power to do so as the Almighty, as the Omega, the Alpha and Omega, as the beginning and the end, as able to bring many sons to salvation, to be with them as part of the family of God and the kingdom of God forever. He has shown us the way for us to follow. He has lived it, to grow and to do all things like he did, as shown in the Bible through inspiration and understanding made possible by God's Holy Spirit. Without it, we could not do this. He has all power as the Alpha Omega. We need to accept him, repent, follow him, and trust him for our salvation, and look forward to ever being with him and his Father and all people that overcome and receive salvation in the kingdom of God.